We just came up with a new character because of our friend Barry, who's up in HR. He's been out. We're just saying, golly, I haven't seen Barry in like 2 weeks. He's on jury duty. And he's in a case. I mean, he is in a case.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he came in once. I did see him once. And he said, I can't talk about the case. And of course, I'm sitting here like, what's the case? I can't talk about it.
Yeah.
Man. What? Barry does this thing. I just told Chris Dim, I remember exactly what I was doing 29 years ago today. And, well, it was yesterday. I knew I was at the fair. We have a fair here in town here in the autumn. And I knew exactly where I was. I was calling the pig races.
I remember those.
You remember the pig races?
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Dim said, how do you remember what you were doing? And the reason is, 29 years ago yesterday, I left the pig races at the fair and stopped and got gas. And a guy came rushing out of the gas station and said, Chris, the verdict is in on the O.J. Simpson trial.
Oh, that's why you know.
That's right. So it's 29 years ago. He goes, they're going to announce it tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And I was like, golly, run and tell your friends. The verdict is in. The verdict is in. And so
my day just got better.
Right. So, and I was like,
riding on the high of the pig race adrenaline.
And when the guy who came out, who I don't know, he's anonymous to me to this day, who came out and said, Chris, the verdict is in. And we both were sitting there chatting, pumping our gas. And I said, boy, they're back early. You know that means guilty. And the other guy's like, you darn right. They put him away. He is guilty of sin. And that's what they're going to say tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Well, of course, that led to one of my biggest blunders of all time.
And one of my favorite moments of all time.
It's a multimedia blunder, really, is what it was.
It was. BB Shea didn't know about that until recently. I told him the video cameras came in here from the local news to film
live reactions.
And so we were on the radio station, and we stayed, different show at that time, but we stayed late. We stayed 3 hours late to watch the verdict. Chris Dim said at the time, waste of your time. Total waste. He was on a different show. Chris Dim came to me and said, are y'all staying on to 1 o'clock? I said, oh yeah, we're covering it stem to stern. And he goes, what a waste. No one will care.
That guy eats everything.
Everybody else will be, of course, the news will be all over it. This is the biggest trial of all time.
Yeah.
And so, 29 years ago today, we stayed until 1 o'clock. Local news team was here filming our reaction to the verdict.
There was a camera inches from your face.
That's right.
As the foreman read the verdict.
Yeah.
We, Orenthal James Simpson, find the defendant not guilty.
And of course, my mouth drops open and I said, no, no, he did it. He did it. You know, here I am just tore up about it. And we continue on and I just slump to the end of the hallway, go drive home. I bet I got 3 sandwiches at Chick-fil-A that day. You know I did. You know I did.
Eat your feelings.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm an emotional eater. We know that. So I get home that night, 6 o'clock news comes on. I was like, well, let's watch and see what happens. And of course, they juxtapose. They say, this was a battle drawn along racial lines, a low point in America. And they show my big
just
white
how
puppy
split this country can be.
Yeah. There's my puffy white fan.
No. Representing no. The whites.
Yes.
Here's a slack-jawed disc jockey.
Representing the blacks, every black person in Los Angeles. Just absolutely thrilled.
I don't know who you paid or who likes you over there, but for years.
I know.
I've been trying to get my hands on this video.
I know.
And I think it's been destroyed.
I agree.
Yeah. I want it so bad.
I agree.
The technology has evolved. I don't think they kept a lot of the older tapes.
Yeah. And, you know, because it'd be so much fun to remix you now like people do with your no, juxtaposed
no.
with a group being like, yeah.
And even the guy I was working with, who is a legend in this business, called me and said, man, they did a number on you, man. They
got you.
Because they kept showing me, you know, quizzically looking up like, what? How is it possible? And I kept going, no, it's a nightmare. It's not real.
Yeah, they're going to rerun it at 6 and 11.
Oh, they did. They ran it at 5, 6, 10, 11, the next day's noon, all of it. They had it for the weekend. They were like moments of the week, of course. This is before the term going viral was even a thing.
Yeah.
But the weekend anchors were like a low moment here in our community.
Mm. Did you stay inside for a few days? Like, you know, just working home just
of course.
People seeing you being like, that's the guy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's no guy.
Absolutely. So that's why. So I told Christian yesterday, I know what I was doing 29 years ago.
Yeah. If you mentioned like historical events, That's easier to put,
of course,
your own history in context.
But our friend Barry, this is how
he's in a different level.
He'll say to me on a random, you know, August 10th, he'll say, "Well, I know what I was doing on this date in 1983. And you're like, "What?" And he goes, "I drove a truck down to Macon and picked up some lumber and drove it back." Mm-hmm. And it's like, "Well, how do you know that?" "I don't know."
He just does. He just does.
So his character is the person who remembers non-important events. Doesn't, you know, it's not like, "So what? What happened?" "I lost my keys." "What?"
"This day 12 years ago, I had a cheesesteak."
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
He's the person who remembers things that don't matter. He remembers where he was when he gave up dipping snuff.
To the day.
To the day, he's like.
And the day he started again.
That's right. July 14th, 1996. I said, "That's it with Skoal." December 1st, 2010, I picked it back up again. "Really?"
"Yeah,
it's over at the Stop and Shop." I said, "Well, why did you go back to Skoal?" "I don't know. There was a can there. I just took it."
You know, with a memory like that, he might be an asset to a jury.
Well, he's
You know, he won't need to take notes. He just remembers.
Maybe he's on the form. Maybe he's the foreman of the jury.
Could be.
He probably should be. He won't give any indication.
He's bound. Yeah.
Can you not?
The judge gave them last Friday off, so he did pop in the office briefly.
So I said, "What's going on in the trial?" And he said, "I can't discuss that." He's very professional. But I always felt like if I was ever on a jury like that, like on the day off, people say, "What's going on?" I say, "Man, you didn't hear from me, guilty."
I don't think they realize if you ever made a jury how you would immediately ruin either side's case. I don't know which side you know, because you would. You couldn't wait to tell somebody.
The DA and the defense would both be like, "This guy is a walking mistrial.
You didn't hear it from me, but she did it." No question.
I had a thought going back a segment or so. Mm-hmm. You were talking about the O.J. Simpson, the verdict, and the night you heard about the verdict it was in, and then the day it was announced on television. And you've said many, many times on this program that was one of the O.J. Simpson trial was what bonded you to your wife.
Correct.
Imagine how your life might have changed. You might not be sitting in the seat. You might not have the family you have now had O.J. been convicted. Because on your first date with your now wife, all you talked about was the O.J. trial.
Correct.
Think about that.
I know. That's true. I was trying to show off a little bit and say that I knew dates, kind of like Barry does, of specific things. And I just said to her, we were sitting in a minor league baseball game on a blind date, and I said, "I know the date that the O.J. Simpson verdict came in." And my wife said, "Well, me too, October 3rd, 1995. And I just looked at her and like, I couldn't believe it.
Here comes a young Jeter to the plate.
Couldn't believe it. Derek Jeter was in the game.
True. And, as a rookie.
Yeah. It's like, whatever. And I said, "Are you serious?" And she goes, "Yeah, I know that."
As serious as those pleats on your shorts.
Yeah. I still have those shorts. I can get back into them now. It's nice. I like that. So, yes, if not for that, if he had been found not guilty, I probably wouldn't have brought it up. Or, excuse me, if he had been found guilty, I probably wouldn't have brought that up. That was 29 years ago today. So, I know exactly what I did 29 years ago today. And yesterday, hog calling over at the fair. I was doing the pig races at the fair. And I was great on play-by-play of that. Now,
does it matter?
No.
To the fairgoers?
No. In fact, the guy that runs the pig races, he goes into the trailer and about every 45 minutes comes out with 9 pigs, little piglets, puts them down, they race. And I don't even know if they're allowed to do that anymore to those poor animals.
I just had that thought, actually, as you were telling that story. I was like, I wonder if that's still even a thing.
Well, you don't hear them pushing it much.
No.
Now, they may still do it at some fairs, but they don't put it in the commercials.
No. And so my idea is, let's do play-by-play of this thing. And that's when PETA got involved and said, what kind of heartless monster wants to do play-by-play of these poor animals' plight running around in a circle? But the guy that came out of the trailer, I said, I'm doing play-by-play of this. He goes, why? What's your angle? What are you doing here? Mistrusting.
Did you have to show up in your radio station T-shirt and bluff your way past security?
Oh, yes.
I'm here for the pig race.
I did all that. Yeah, of course I did. I did every bit of
that. Somebody talks into a walkie-talkie.
He says he's here for the pig race.
Yeah, that's right. Sure did. Sure.
Can I charge him admission?
No. No.
No, no, no.
I did not pay admission for that.
Talk to the pig man. Let me in.
I was on the way into that same fair, must have been probably a couple of years later, when the New York Yankees hit a home run and the Orioles player was going to catch the ball and a young Jeffrey Mayer reached over and took the ball in a historic baseball play that now would probably be overturned after replay because it was clearly fan interference. And I was so mad because I hate the Yankees that I stormed into the fair and told the pig race man, have you seen what's happening in New York?
He's like, injustice in the Bronx.
No. He didn't care about that one.
You get out there and you call them pig races.
Right. I was in no place.
You do exactly what I say. You called them pig races.
I was not in a mental.
Did you call them in a rage?
Yes, I was enraged.
Hey, here comes Porky Pig. Who I cares? Just seen,
yes, I was enraged.
Here comes
by that.
Petunia.
Absolutely. I was outraged by that. Going on, and so I was in no mental spot to call those pig races.
Did people bet, or was it just a spectacle?
Just a spectacle. Although I think it seems like I think they did bet, and you got a prize if your pig won, like a stuffed animal. I think you could put.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You just pick, 1 through 10, yeah. Whatever the pig was.
Well, because when you go to a fair, mm-hmm. the reason they can do all this because it's a game of skill.
Mm-hmm.
Games of chance are different. You know what I mean?
Well, it's betting. That's betting. I can't remember if they did that or not.
But you're not doing anything.
You're not doing anything. You're just betting.
You're not shooting or tossing golf balls or mm-hmm. basketballs.
It's like just calling the dog races, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what Johnny Bench said, that Pete Rose's favorite thing to do was on the road. And at spring training.
Dog track.
Go to the dog track. Yeah, Pete Rose would go to the dog track. It's spring training in Florida all the time. And Johnny Bench. Also, I saw Johnny Bench on an interview yesterday. Former guest on this program. Clearing up that he and Pete Rose did not have a falling out. They always got along. People always thought they didn't get along, but that was not true. They were different types of people, but he said, I always supported him. He always had my back, too.
You know, after, mm-hmm. When Pete Rose died, you saw tons of posts about him on social media. And mm-hmm. one, I didn't do any verification. In fact, the person who put it up, former colleague, used to work in this building ages ago,
mm-hmm.
said that when... I can't remember which one it was, Johnny Bench or Pete Rose got married
mm-hmm.
back in the old days, and the other one went on the honeymoon with the couple so they could play ping pong.
That sounds like...
Now, that's unverified.
Yeah.
It's unverified.
That sounds like Pete Rose.
But it's like, one of them was there with his new wife,
yeah,
and he's like, I'm going to go play ping pong.
With Johnny.
With Johnny.
Okay.
Yeah. They're so competitive. Pete Rose is
like
so competitive.
Like three people on a honeymoon.
A lot of those athletes, Michael Jordan, I've heard this about John Elway, certainly Pete Rose. Any game, they are must win. Even if it's ping pong, board games, they must win those games. The last interviews Pete Rose gave about 4 weeks ago, he was asked about going into the Hall of Fame posthumously after he died.
Who got the interview?
I'm not even positive who got the interview. It's leaking today. Let me look here. They ask him about, it was a MLB Network podcast, and they ask him about going into the Hall of Fame posthumously.
I don't see much sense in putting me on the ballot after I die, because for a player to go into his or her Hall of Fame, it's more or less for your family, and it's more or less for your fan base. And I'm big on both of those two things right there. And I know most of the people who rooted for me my whole career would love to see me in the Hall of Fame as a living player, not as someone that's 10 feet under.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're ever going to.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. Even though it's getting a lot of buy. Remember yesterday we were talking about how I am a mirror to whoever I'm talking to?
Like, yes.
The vice presidential debate was 2 nights ago. And I had a Republican friend say to me, was J.D. Vance great or what? And I said, oh, you better believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That guy was a smooth.
Found his rock.
Right. And then later, a Kamala Harris supporter said to me, can you believe all the lies J.D. Vance was spewing last night? I said, tell
horrible.
Him, tell it, bro. That guy. So.
It's a disgrace.
So yesterday, a pickle pal came up to me and said, this is early, when I first got to play pickleball, just warming up, stretching. And a pickle pal said to me, can you believe that Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame after all the great he did on the field? And I said, this is travesty. This is awful. He absolutely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. He needs to be in Cooperstown.
Somebody made all those hits.
Exactly. I said, somebody played on the field. Exactly. So 2 hours later, this player now, my pickle pal, is a court away. He's not near me. And another pickle pal says, There's nobody, no athlete I've ever hated more than Pete Rose. I would spit on his plaque if they put it in the Hall of Fame. Am I right? And I was like, so right, brother. You cannot let anybody in who bet on baseball.
It's the one rule.
So I said, he goes, it's the one rule that you cannot break. I said, that's exactly right.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
You're a human mirror.
Cannot break that rule. But I was looking over my shoulder at the previous.
Because you're also worried because you know what you've just done.
If he overhears me saying it, I'm in trouble. So I kept it real quiet and I was like, we ain't letting him in the Hall of Fame. That's not happening.
Baseball.
Absolutely not.
I may or may not be a voter.